We are continuing in Einaya. We're already up to Siman 242 in the second perek. That's after we did the whole first perek, which is pretty good. Siman Resh Mem Bet, where the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, it gives a bunch of different simanim, a bunch of different signs that if a person gets this certain sickness, then he should check himself if he has this shortcoming. And it says, Siman la avera hidrokan, that if a person has some kind of internal swelling, then... Okay. Tadaraba. That's always good that somebody reminds me. If a person has internal swelling, that is a sign that he should check himself for certain problems, certain sins, things that he's not doing right. Now notice, we're not talking about a punishment. That's what Rav Kook said last time. There are a lot of different levels on which Hashem runs the world, and not just reward and punishment. Usually children understand from their parents that if I do good, I'll get a candy, and if I do bad, I'll get a punishment. And they relay that also to our relationship with God. And without a doubt, this is found in the Tanakh. Nevertheless, there are a lot of other different levels on which Hashem runs the world, like we learned last time, even dreams. And one of the ways in which He runs the world is also sicknesses. That's what we're going to talk about today. So Rav Kook says, again, we're not talking about a punishment, but a sign that a person should self-examine himself if he is having a certain sickness, in our case, internal swelling.
My father, may rest in peace, used to say, it's not virus, it's a virus.
Not a virus, but a virus. So it says in Rav Kook writes in paragraph Aleph, Ha-hechsher le-kilkul pnimi ad ha-shiflut shel harisat ha-musar ha-yesodi, that the preparation for a person's internal downfall, that means internal spiritually and also physically, as we see that it really goes together, as we've seen many times, that a person, you are what you eat. A person who smokes and overeats and oversleeps or undersleeps or doesn't take care of themselves, that is a sign that he is having spiritual problems as well. A sign that maybe he doesn't feel such a meaning in life. So the way of kilkul pnimi, of internal downfall, until a person falls all the way, until harisata musar yisodi, until he loses all of his basic natural morality that we're going to talk about, that every person is created in the image of God and is created with a conscience and basic natural morality. So when a person begins his downfall, hu muchrach litchaber im amon kilkulim rabim kodmim lo. Rav Kook is stressing, just like with everything in life, that it is a process. And just like the redemption, the geula, is a process, there's the first aliyah, the second aliyah, before the Holocaust, after the Holocaust, so too, on the microcosm, our individual development is a slow but sure process, for good and for bad. In other words, a person is not born a bank robber. A person is not born a criminal. But if a person sees that he is slipping spiritually, he should realize that he is not going in the right direction. By the way, this is something important to point out, and we once spoke about this, that if a person is at a given point, it might be that he's on the rise or on the decline, and it's a world of a difference. And everybody knows when you daven, whether you have that motivation, whether you're feeling spiritual or not feeling spiritual, whether you enjoy the Torah and the mitzvot or not, And again, it doesn't make a difference where the point is. What we're talking about is, are you on the way up or on the decline? Because everything in life really is accumulative. I remember once in camp, this was at the National Bnei Akiva seminar, there's a guy who, he never came to the sichot, he never came to the discussions, to the classes, and he when we called him in to ask him, you know, why did you come to the seminar, to the National Leadership Seminar, if you're not attending the activities, he said, well, I don't feel like studying or going to these discussions or ideological discussions, but you're not going to kick me out because I'm not a robber, I'm not a murderer, I'm not really doing anything bad. And unfortunately, what Rav Kook is telling us is that, no, it's not enough just not to do anything bad. I'm not a robber. But if you are on the direction of a decline, you got to wake up and realize in which direction you are accumulating problematic actions. Shekvar kilkalu kama mechonot pnimiyot bekochot ha-nefesh. That if a person is on the decline, that means that he already has lost several stages in his spirituality, even before he notices where he's falling. Because directions, again, they never start right now. It always began a minute, or a day, or a week, or a month ago. And obviously there are ups and downs, but a person always has to be in touch, even on the same day. Am I on an up? Or am I on a down? Because if I'm on a down, then that is a problem. That's a problem. And that is why Hashem, every now and then, that's what we spoke about last time, Rav Kook explained that Hashem sends us a lot of different wake-up warnings. And one of them is sickness. And also, as we said last time, there are a lot of different levels of sickness. If a person himself is very sick, that's a lot more direct message than somebody who is around the sick person and taking care of him, or somebody who is around the family who is around the person taking care of them. And the same thing, like we said last week, with dreams. A dream is a very soft wake-up call because it wasn't real. Nevertheless, you got the feeling, whether a good feeling or a frightening feeling. And it's even softer if your friend tells you about a dream that he had. In other words, life is full of wake-up calls, either for good or for bad. And the idea is we are not supposed to live like robots. We are supposed to examine and analyze life. That's Mesilat Yesharim, and really all of the Musar books in one word. Analyze. Analyze life. Where am I going, and what is my direction? Paragraph Bet. Ki arbei kochot musariyim ba'omek ha-nefesh chanan Hashem yitbarach la'adam. God created us with many different safety mechanisms so that protect us when we're falling, so that a person doesn't usually just fall all of a sudden. You don't become a murderer or a bank robber overnight. Even talking Lashon Hara, it might start with hearing people gossiping about others, and then you see the people laugh, and then you start saying it yourself, and then that is the slippery slope down. But we do have, Hashem gave us a lot of defense mechanisms, she'mondim lo kitris, that they are there to protect us, milipol shadud bashpala hayeruda, shelefsed klaluta musar vakedusha elyona shebehod nafsho. God gave us a holy soul. We say every day, Elokai neshama shenatata bi torahi. God, the soul that you gave us, that is a spark of you. It's a godly spark. Now, this is expressed first and foremost in the conscience, that we feel good when we do good, we feel bad when we do bad. We even feel good when we see somebody do something good. Even if you're watching a movie and you see somebody doing something good, you feel good. You know that that's what we should be doing. And if you could do it, you should do it. The same thing with our conscience for the bad. That if we even see somebody doing something wrong, and we know it's wrong, we in Am Yisrael have a mitzvah of hocheach tocheach et amitecha, to rebuke. As we've seen many times, if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. Kol Yisrael arevim ze baze, all Jews are responsible for each other. And if so, even if I see somebody doing something wrong, it should bother me. Now that conscience, we believe, is a very deep and good conscience. And that is one of the main mechanisms that prevents us from slipping. There's also peer pressure. Even if a person, sometimes his yetzer hara, his evil inclination, will overcome his conscience and says, okay, my conscience will feel bad if I lie about something, but everyone will laugh at my joke and think I am popular, or I will gain monetarily, or if I lie, and what I will gain will outweigh, sometimes, my conscience. And if so, if I just want to be moral because it doesn't feel right not to be moral, sometimes it feels even better to be immoral. And therefore, we have other atrisim, what Rav Kook calls. Atris is literally a Venetian blind, a blind, like on the windows, that, again, peer pressure. If your peers catch you lying, then you're up the creek. And if you ruin your good name, that's another type of safety mechanism, that people are scared not to ruin their good name. That's also part of a type of peer pressure. All of this, together with the conscience, are safety mechanisms which prevent us from slipping. But if we overcome our good inclination and we overcome our conscience once, twice, three times, then we're going to start losing also our fear of peer pressure, positive peer pressure. We're going to lose the good parts of society. And that is how, little by little, how we slip down the slope. Now, it's important to point out, parenthetically, I once spoke about this a couple years ago, about Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, who Hitler, Yimach Shemo, bases a lot of his book, Mein Kampf, on Nietzsche's thought. Nietzsche believes that there is no such thing as the conscience. He says that the Jews artificially invented the conscience. And that is how, according to Nietzsche, that is how we survived, even though, according to survival of the fittest, if Jews are not the strongest, how do we survive? So Nietzsche says we are the trickiest, that we trick people into believing the conscience. Judaism believes that, yes, it was Avraham Avinu and the Jewish people who rediscovered the conscience that God created us with. Mankind was born, Adam was born with a conscience. But the problem was, he chose wrong, and Cain, his son, chose wrong. And little by little, everyone was choosing wrong and overcoming their natural conscience, and peer pressure went down the tubes. And that is when Noach started anew, and that also didn't work out. And that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to change the shift gear with Avraham Avinu, whereas it's not just enough to have individual righteous people, that there always were, Noach, Shem, Metushelach, Chanoch, Adam, Ever. There always were righteous individuals. But from the time of Avraham Avinu on, Hashem said, I want there to be a righteous nation. Mamlechet Kohanim v'goy Kadosh. So that the role of Am Yisrael is to teach morality, tzedakah u'mishpat, to mankind. So, what did Avraham Avinu do? All right, we're saying that man naturally has a conscience. But the problem was, man was overcoming his conscience with his yetzer hara. and that his desire for different bad things overcame his conscience. And that is why we needed to bring Avraham Avinu, the nation of Israel, who brought monotheism and morality to the world on a national level. We brought the Bible and the Ten Commandments, and little by little mankind, for the last 3,700 years, has been improving. That's a side point to understand what do we believe. We do not accept that what Nietzsche says, that the Jews invented the conscience. We believe that the conscience is natural. But just like, you know, the famous question, does anybody know who is the greatest pianist in the world? And the answer is, he doesn't know either. Because the greatest pianist in the world is probably living somewhere in Africa, and he's never seen a piano in his life, and he never heard of piano lessons, and even if he did, he doesn't have a mother who's going to make him practice, and he doesn't have money to pay for the lessons, and he's not going to realize his potential. The smartest and most artistic and most musical and probably the most on any given topic, they are people who have that great potential, but unless they work at realizing the potential, it's going to stay dormant. It's going to stay, he's not even going to know about it. And that's the same thing with the conscience. The Mesilat Yesharim, in his introduction to The Path of the Just, he writes about that yes, God created us with a godly spark. That's our nature. But he also created us with free will. That we have different drives that sometimes overcome our conscience and our good nature. Anyway, so that is paragraph a bit. Let us go on to paragraph Gimel. I remember to scroll down. Alken, livatzeret koach haheres, in order to strengthen, to fortify against those self-destructing drives that bring us down the slippery slope, midgalim kilkulim rabim pnimiim be'omek hapnim hachomri. Therefore, accordingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to check inside ourselves. He wants us to analyze inside ourselves. And that's why sometimes he brings this sign. Again, it's not a punishment, but it's a sign. His internal swelling is a sign that something is going wrong inside him. Makot chedre baten, v'chol dichot lev pratit, mechuvenet l'umat shrirut lev nafshit miyuchedet. Your Rav Kook words it beautifully for those who understood the Hebrew. I'll paraphrase it. He says, the unhappiness of our hearts, caused by sickness, caused by different warning signs that God sends us, that unhappiness of the heart is directed, it's aimed, le'umat shrirut lev nafshit miyuchedet. It is aimed at our hearts, which are doing whatever we feel like, which are doing what we feel like, not what we know we should be doing. Ad shiromema adam al yedei dichut ruchol litkadesh b'romemut nafsho kera'ui lo. Until a person realizes, looks inside, and realizes that, again, it's not something that started now, it's something that's been going on, and I have to put on the brakes and change my direction. This idea of physical signs is something that we know from the Torah. Let's jump down, or scroll down, to source number 4. Even the most assimilated Jew, if he knows anything about Judaism, it's Yom Kippur. And when the Torah tells us in Vayikra Tet Zayin, Pasuk Kaftet and Lamed, Vaitalachem lechukat olam, b'chodesh hashvi'i, in the seventh month, the month of Tishrei, be'esor lachodesh, on the 10th day, Yom Kippur, te'anu et nafshotechem. You should, inui literally means suffer. Self-inflict suffer by fasting. Notice, when we feel pain, that is supposed to get us to analyze. The idea of Yom Kippur is to induce that weakness, to induce pain by not eating in order to get us to analyze ourselves. And this is the day that is going to clean us from our sins. How do we induce this? By inflicting a little self-suffering. It's not the end of the world not to eat for a day. My daughter is into health food, and she says that they say that Davka gets healthy every now and then to do a fast, to clean out the system. We have a fast to clean out our spiritual system. It's not just Yom Kippur. Let's look in Source 5. We see in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Zayin, also the people, even though it wasn't Yom Kippur, when they wanted to improve themselves, they declared a fast. And again, you don't have to wait for Yom Kippur. You can declare a fast. And by the way, this is the idea of Tzom Gedalia, Asara B'Tevet, Tisha B'Av. All of the rabbinical fasts are also, the idea is to look in and to analyze. We see even non-Jews in Source 6, Sefer Yonah Paragimel, V'yaminu Anshei Nineveh Ba'Elohim, that the people, the Gentiles in Nineveh, who Jonah went to warn that they should repent, otherwise they're going to be punished. Even the Gentiles, apparently, they don't know this from the Jewish people, but apparently it is a known, even primitive man, even in the olden days, they knew that if you want to improve, one of the ways is to induce this day of analysis, induce a day of a little pain. In Yoel, Perek Bet, in Surah 7, V'gamatanu Hashem shuvu adai b'chol levavchem. Hashem says, return to me with all of your hearts, b'tzom uvevichi uvemisped. Here we have another act which helps us analyze. Chevra, this is also what Corona is about. Obviously, we don't know why God brought us Corona. But the fact that everyone is asking themselves, and that's the way it should be, we shouldn't ask ourselves what the other guy is doing wrong. We should ask ourselves, what am I doing wrong that I can improve, that I can make the most out of this wake-up call? Now, notice in Yoel, when the people wanted to do tshuva, when they wanted to improve, they fasted, right? That's what we've been seeing in the last 3-4 sources. Bibichi, they cried. Right? You pray, you talk to God, you repent. Uvemisped, to eulogize. Because people have been dying, and same thing with Corona. When people are dying left and right in an unnatural or abnormal way, what do you do, chas v'shalom, when a person dies? Whether it be going to the funeral, whether it be seeing a eulogy on Zoom, whether eulogizing just within your own two ears. What we do is we think, what is life about? What are priorities about? What did that person who died, what can I learn from him? Am I utilizing my time in this world? Am I making the most out of my life? Right? Usually when, chas v'shalom, people die around you, it puts everything in proportion, right? Usually people think, what am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat today? What? And when chas v'shalom, people are dying, and you eulogize, you realize that this guy, hopefully he lived a full, long life. And looking back, what do you eulogize about him? Not how much he slept, not how much pizza he ate, and not how much money he made, but how much money he gave away in tzedakah. How helpful he was. Eulogizing is good to help us. It's a good example. How do the wake-up signs work? It helps me evaluate what are my priorities, what is more important, what is less important, what is life really about. And then also what we see in Megillat Esther, in source number 8, paragraph 4, Dalid, that also when Esther wants to save the Jewish people, she says we have to get together and we have to fast, and we're going to fast 3 days, all as part of the Talich of Tshuva, of the process of self-improvement. By the way, maybe I should have brought the sources. On this pasuk that we saw on regarding Yom Kippur in source number 4, the Ibn Ezra says, how do fast days help us improve, repent? He says that eating takes up a lot of time. Not just those 20 minutes or half hour that you're going to take chewing and digesting the food, but also preparing the meal and washing the dishes and going to the grocery and cleaning up afterwards. And a meal, ask any woman, a meal is especially during the summer that they say, you know, you go just from breakfast to lunch to supper and that takes up the whole day. And that's what Ibn Ezra says. Ibn Ezra says, when you fast, whether it be Yom Kippur, Tzom Gedalia, Tisha B'Av, or a self-voluntary fast, put the food on the side and use that time which you gained to focus on priorities. The Sefer HaChinuch says exactly that. He says that when you feel weak, and this is the direction that Rav Kook is going, when a person feels weak, and he sees that, what, even a glass of water shows me how weak I really am, how dependent I am on God, how I should not be arrogant, I should be humble, how I need God, and I need His help, and I need His food, and I need His water. I should mention also the Mishnah Berurah adds on another point, which a lot of people don't know. Halachically, he says, and it's not his chidush, he's quoting other people, that the money that you save on a fast, you should use that money and give it to charity. And that way, you gain another aspect of self-improvement, of being altruistic, of being selfless instead of selfish, of thinking of others rather than thinking of myself. Anyway, the bottom line is, out of all these ideas regarding fasting, it's the same. A fast is like a sickness. It's a self-induced sickness to help me save time, analyze, priorities, give more money to tzedakah, maybe cry a little, and strengthen my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let's look a second in source number 2, where Rav Kook writes about how the small actions, again, the slippery slope is not one big action. לחדור לתוך תוכם של כל הגורמים הפרטיים, איך מכשירים את החיים ומעמידים אותם אל הבסיס הטוב, ואיך משמרים אותם מכל כלכלה, גם קטנה שבקטנות, שסופה לעלות סרטון גדול ולהרוס הרבה מאוד. How is an iceberg made? It's in the ocean, and a little water freezes, an icicle, and then a little more, and a little more, and a little more, until that iceberg is so big that it can sink the Titanic. And that is what Rav Kook is explaining on the Gemara here. Stop the process because it's been accumulating in the wrong direction. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah says that sin starts out like a spider's web. That if you make a mistake, you can just cut it, no problem. But if you repeat the mistake over and over again, it becomes like a thick rope. And a thick rope is very difficult to cut. The same thing if you continue a habit again and again and again and again, the more difficult it is to break that particular habit, and also the more difficult it is to change the direction from down to up. I remember my grandmother, Zichrona Livracha, when I used to sleep over sometimes at her house in Brooklyn. In my day, all grandmothers lived in either Miami or Brooklyn. And and my girlfriend, later my wife, lived in Brooklyn. So when I would go out with her and sleep over by my grandmother noticed that looks starting to look more serious. She says, tell me about her. So I said, you know, she's this and this and all these good qualities. And then my grandmother told me something. She said, don't make the mistake that everybody makes. Says everybody's looking for the most beautiful and the smartest and the funniest and the Nobel Prize winner and the wealthiest. And says those are not the people who make a good spouse. The one who makes a good spouse is somebody who's going to make you tea when you don't feel well. That is what a good husband or a good wife is about. It's the small things of changing the diaper, or helping look for the pacifier, or it's the small things that build up a relationship. And that, something we spoke about once, that is the difference between the Rachel relationship and the Leah relationship. That the women bless Ruth that she should have both relationships with her husband Boaz. Rachel had a dynamic relationship where it's romantic, but they're also the first couple in the Torah that fight. In other words, there are highs and there are lows. On the other hand, Leah is like the ketuvah at a marriage. That when a couple gets married, you obligate yourself to A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And obviously, if you have to look in your ketuvah and check, is this something that I'm obligated to do or I don't have to do? That's already a problem. But the idea is loyalty. Because I once mentioned here, the two greatest tefillot, the two greatest davenings that I ever had, one was at a Karl Bach Minyan in Tzfat, where everyone was singing and dancing, and it was really emotional, dynamic. That's the Rachel relationship with God. But there also, the second best tefillah that I ever had, I won't go through all the details, but it was after a long night lying in an ambush in the army, and the terrorists didn't even come, and it was raining, and I was sneezing, and I had to go to the bathroom for 4 hours. I couldn't move, and then I had Shmirah, and everything was going wrong. And then, to top it all off, when I said Kriyat Shema Lamita before going to sleep, I remembered that I hadn't davened Maariv yet. And I had to wake up another 2 hours for Shmirah, for guard duty. And I really was not in the mood to pray. But nevertheless, as I prayed, and I really wasn't saying the words with that much concentration, but when I got to Baruch Atah Hashem, it hit me that I am loyal. I'm loyal to the Jewish people. I'm loyal to God. I daven, even though I don't feel like davening. And that is what a good spouse is about. And that is how our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the small things, not the big things. To summarize, what we've seen is that even difficult things in life should be used to our advantage as wake-up calls to analyze, or as Rav Kook says in source number 9, Ve'ara zeu atov hamitaveh. Even when bad things happen to us in life, it is the gradual good. Because bad things, they're not really bad. They are challenges to help us become good.